And happy new year, and welcome to the first episode. No, yes, no, yes,
yes,
yes, first
yes.
Episode 2019 of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, again, always, forever. And joining me today is Wario Will.
I just gotta say, you can finally stop nagging me because I have finally been Breath of the Wild before the new year, so you too can stop nagging me about this whole bragging thing. Yes, it's finally been done. I beat Breath of the Wild, so yeah, we can finally discuss this thing after this podcast.
Darn, now I'm going to have to change all my draft picks because that was going to be one of them for Will to finally beat Breath of the Wild. But and I can confirm that he actually did it because he posted pics saying that he did it. So
that was really insensitive to the two other people who haven't beaten Breath of the Wild also.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, there was like a day before Will posted those pics, a person I saw on Facebook goes, is it bad that I haven't beaten Breath of the Wild yet? And I go, I was thinking of Will and went, yeah, at least you're not alone.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But yes, we'll save that for next week's podcast because tonight we got Tellius Tyler with us, of course.
What up? Oh, I do.
Sailing!
Yeah.
Sailing!
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, hand up. That's on me. I should have been prepared for that, but I wasn't.
And ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to say that we got a challenger approaching. Because for the first time, period, on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, we have Captain Toad Taylor.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Pleasure for having me. I am Andros Alex's twin. Yes, the less evil, more adventurous, some might say fearless twin. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Big fan.
I mean, it's just like Captain Toad. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's...
He's the best.
Oh, I didn't even realize the resemblance. It's funny you say that now.
Andros is going to hear this, and he's going to lose it. And he's going to come back on the show, and he goes, what did you guys thinking bringing my twin brother onto here?
Yeah, it'll be good fun.
Yeah. Well, again, Happy New Year, everyone. We're all hoping that you are already having a good start to 2019, and we hope we are helping make your first week of 2019 even more special. And, of course, we are all hoping that Nintendo has an amazing 2019. And so now, as of course is our tradition, we will be having the third annual Nintendo Draft later in this show. But it's time to ask, what have you been playing? And Captain Toad Taylor, since you are appearing on the show for the first time, why don't you regale us what you have been playing over the last few weeks? And if your answer is not Smash Brothers, prepare to be kicked off the show.
Well, lucky for you, it's been exclusively Smash Brothers, and it's been a blast. whether it be, you know, with friends, I've been doing a lot of the single player stuff. I beat Classic with everybody on the hardest difficulty that I'm capable of for some characters, 9.9 on my best. I have about 45 hours into World of Light. I'm close to completing it. I've got like 101 challenges of the 124. So I've been putting some time in. I took a week off of work, completely bailed on a San Diego trip to get my Smash game in, and it's been amazing. So, I hope to be playing exclusively Smash for a while. So, yeah, that's it.
What's wrong with that?
We were just playing Ultimate pre-show, me, Captain Toad, and my two brothers, and I had the thought, I was like, we could definitely just do this for like 3 years straight and be completely content. Like, this
absolutely.
Is just so much fun.
Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I purposely, in 2018, made sure I beat as many games as possible that were in my back catalog, because I knew once this came out, I mean, that was the end of the foreseeable future for playing anything else. If it makes you feel any better, Will, I've also not beaten Breath of the Wild, and that's going to take a 2-year hiatus until Smash is
yeah, when you're done,
burner.
Be sure to come on and talk about the ending with us, because Todd really wants to talk about it.
I do.
All right.
I do, and Will made a tweet like, oh, I think I understand about the ending, and I saw the picture, and I'm like, no, you don't.
No, I think I have a good inkling about it.
Inkling? That was a joke. Really?
No, yeah, it was.
I
have no hope.
It was sort of just
laugh.
A statement like, oh, inkling.
Inkling.
That was the joke. Like,
fine.
I might say that joke might have splat a little bit, but
See, that's a joke. See, there's the setup, and then boom, the punchline. That was great. That was well done.
Thank you.
I had three puns run through my head, but I'm going to be a generous host and not talk about it. So, who is your main, Captain Toad?
I would say between, I have a top three of Luigi, Roy, and Marth.
Wow.
But yeah, those are my big boys. I mean, Roy is my boy. I guess, I don't know. It's really tough. I go back and forth with which one's my best. I thought recently Marth might have kind of taken a slight edge, but I still wreck with Roy, so I don't know. And Luigi, believe it or not, I'm still pretty solid, but his grab still from time to time throws me off. I have to get used to it. This is the fifth generation of the game, and this is the first time he's got the vacuum, so the poltergeist. So we'll see. But that's my three. That's my mains.
Yeah, your Luigi's really, really strong. I mean, I don't know if it's because I hadn't played a bunch of Luigi's, but we were playing on New Year's. Your Luigi was definitely, I felt then your best. But
thank
then
you.
Again earlier today, your Rui was looking pretty nice. So it's tough to say.
I can beat him with Ike.
I've heard you won tournaments. I don't want to jump the gun on this conversation.
I have won a tournament as Ike. It's a little known fact from the podcast. We don't say it that much. But
I've never
yes.
heard it. I've never
no.
heard that be mentioned. I just was doing some research on the side, actually.
Yeah.
Which character did you win that tournament with?
Ike.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And I won. Do you want to know what I won? I don't think I ever told you what I won. I won the actually pretty good condition Valiant Nintendo comics back when Nintendo used to make comics.
And
I got an original golden Legend of Zelda cartridge.
Okay.
So that was, and I got a plaque.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah,
it was a great.
Sweet.
It was a Comic-Con tournament. That's what you're gonna do.
Okay, gotcha. I gotta go hit up my Comic-Con tournaments. Okay. And get some. If Todd could win one, then anybody can.
Hey.
Go.
Mean.
Wow. New year, new everyone. Everyone, little jabs here. No.
Yeah, it's just what we do on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast.
Welcome to NEP.
Dude, so Tyler, how has your Smash Brothers experience been going?
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't bother to ask what I'd been playing. It's been great. I have my quest to play is everybody has progressed, so I played as Mario a lot. Now I've kind of started to rapidly go through some guys. I love Donkey Kong. I love Link, but actually I have a newfound affection for Samus. I never thought I would enjoy Samus. But I love playing as Samus in Ultimate. There's just, she's so weird. Like, when I first started playing as her, I tweeted that she was the worst character I've ever used. Because some of her moves are just so stupid and weird, and they make no sense, and they don't work. But after, like, I don't know, getting demolished 5 or 6 times, I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to take this character into training, and I'm just going to use some of her moves and, like, try to figure out, like, okay, what is it supposed to do? And once I figured that out, I figured out some of her really good stuff. Like, her down tilt is stupid good.
Oh, yes.
And after that, I just started basing my game around charging the beam and then using down tilt when you're kind of close to somebody, keeping them at bay, and kind of just conditioning them to be afraid of the blast so that I can kill them with other things. And I love that character. She's a ton of fun. And I've also played as Yoshi, who's pretty good. I'm not great with him yet. Kirby, I think, is the worst character in the game. Kirby's trash. Like, like, he's okay on the ground, okay, but as soon as he's in the air, it's just a free punish. He has no way to get down. His down B, if they were to improve him, they would have to fix his down B. His down B takes so long for him to go into the invincibility of falling that you get bopped. But, like, people just jump up and intercept it. He's so bad. I really don't like Kirby. But I love Fox. Fox is also a really, really fun character I'd never played in any Smash game, even though he's been in all of them. And so for some reason in Ultimate, I was just like, you know, I'm gonna check out Fox McCloud. And he's the opposite of Samus. This guy, you want to get up close and you just want to start throwing out attacks because he's so stinking fast. And all of his moves are just, they come out immediately. As soon as you press the button, he's like, okay, yeah, I'm attacking. And they're strong. He's got kill setups. Fox is super, super strong. So the next character to learn is Pikachu. And then Luigi, so I'm moving down the line.
That's pretty good. I still got to train with Corrin. I really want to, but I've had very little time this week, so my time has been spent playing Smash Brothers when I can, and then playing Fire Emblem Heroes, obviously. They threw a new Templates Trials after we like just got done with
one.
The Voting Gauntlet and the new side category or the side stories with the princesses and
Yes, okay, sure.
Why not? And I was using those tickets that we can get to try and summon one of the new heroes, and I got Leventaine, the original, not the new one. And I'm like, I didn't expect her, but I'm happy because I didn't get any of them before I got Helbindi, but that was it. So I was glad to get her, but I'm gonna have no time tomorrow. I know tomorrow's gonna be crap, and I'm just
Don't say that. Tomorrow's gonna be great.
Yeah, you don't know my schedule, and so trust me when I say it's going to be crap. But I'm hoping to play, I mean, hopefully against some of you guys this weekend, and you know, I'll be able to talk more about Smash Brothers then. But light gaming for me, it's just been a crazy week with New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, work and family stuff. So yeah,
I got Gunthra with one ticket, and I got Leventaine Holiday Edition with the other, with
what?
My one the next day. Yeah, I had really good luck. It's like I wrote that scathing article about Fire Emblem Heroes, and then the devs were like, "We better pacify this guy.
Just give him what he wants."
Yeah, sounds about right.
Lucky bat. Yep. sorry. I'm just a little bit salty because RNGs is blessing you, Tyler.
Again. Yeah. The guy who wrote a Fire Emblem article about how Fire Emblem Heroes stinks and will not improve and everything.
Probably won't improve.
And yet the RNG gods say, "Oh, Tyler, take all these 5 stars.
Yeah, so, because they know that I'm speaking the truth. And they're like, "We got to reward that. This guy, he's people are going to stop offering us offerings if the game doesn't get better."
So I guess pretty much, yes, as I was playing Fire Emblem Heroes. And yeah, regarding to the whole event of New Year's Eve and basically suffering in a Japanese way, I never would have thought I'd see Anna speaking Japanese. Akemashite omedetou gozaimasu, basically Japanese for happy New Year in Japanese. And wow, Anna and Sharina speaking Japanese, who would have thought? So that's kind of a nice little touch, but yeah, the new the New Year's banner for the rest of the characters for Niflheim and Muspelheim is, I gotta say, I'm pretty impressed with the designs of it. Like with Gunthra using a sword, like apparently she is one of the best sword users out there right now. Like her attack on sword Gunthra is like wowzers. Like I can do more than magic, which. Not bad. And of course, there's definitely the voting gauntlet right now. Which, yeah, I'm just wondering who you're voting for, who you're rooting for in the voting gauntlet right now, guys.
Oh, I actually decided to back Gunthra just for kicks, and like the point totals are so low.
Yeah,
it's like 800,000 for her and Takumi, and she's like, okay.
I was tempted to go with Gunthra, but I'm a Takumi guy, so I went with him.
I thought since you pulled the holiday one, I did choose the other ones. But for me, since I only managed to pull her, of course I gotta go with New Year's Eve Camilla. I mean, that's the only one I'm able to pull. If RNGs continue to bless me, please give me the other ones. I'm still trying to go for that legendary Azura, which I got a pity. But yeah, so I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and also been playing as well on Smash Bros. Basically going on the Spirit Board, which currently is right now doing the Mario Space Spirits before we're moving on to Classic Spirits with like old Super DK and Link.
Yeah,
so, I think today was the last day for the Mario Spirits.
Ah, okay. So yeah, we're heading into the Classic Spirits now. So yeah, there's that. And of course, getting ready for Splatoon 2, which there's also called the Splatfest, which is basically we celebrate with the holidays with family or friends, which gold ink or white ink, which one you prefer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically what I've been playing, and yeah, overall New Year's Eve has been very good kind to me. I can Bean Breath of the Wild, so yes.
It's a miracle.
Yes, Bean Breath of the Wild, and finally getting on, actually being champion's ballot before I went to the final boss, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, sure, it definitely knows a lot of things in the game, especially with when you get that motorcycle and face up against the monk, which. By far, I think that's one of the best boss fights I've fought so far. But yeah, the champion's ballad and then the last boss and everything else after. Yeah, we'll discuss more in the next podcast.
All right, well, we got a lot to talk about tonight before we get to the draft. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. The ironic thing here is I write a lot of news for a lot of sites, and the news has been surprisingly sparse, except for on the Nintendo front. For whatever reason, Nintendo just had a lot of news and everything. So let's get started off with a topic we haven't talked...
Wait, I have breaking news. Breaking news. Very, very important breaking news. Everybody just tune in. Wendy's, the fast food chain, made Cloud, Incineroar, Crom, and Young Link.
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
Wait, what was that?
The fast food chain Wendy's has confirmed that they play Cloud, Incineroar, Crom, and Young Link.
Oh, gosh.
Very important information.
I saw that tweet.
Another reason to go to Wendy's all the time.
Another reason to go to Wendy's, besides Frosty's.
I just went to Wendy's for lunch today, by the way. Great call.
Yeah.
meeting right now.
Whoever is running that account is like a genius, because like when they were doing like the Smash Bros hype, you know, there was like Wendy's dishes in or something like that.
I saw that. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Arby's set it all in motion. Originated it, and then Wendy's. I think Wendy's has done it better, but you got to shout out Arby's for starting it.
Yeah. So, all right, now can we go to the news?
Yes.
Please?
Well, that was news. That was news.
All right, let's talk about something we haven't talked about in a while, all right? Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Oh, geez, surprise.
Gosh, I was starting to get worried we weren't going to talk about it anymore.
No, I know. It's so hard. I mean, it's already 3-4 weeks old, basically. I mean, it's so old. It's so last year.
Yeah.
All right. So there's been a lot of Smash Brothers news, more or less, and one of them is that some data mining has been going on, obviously, and some people found some hidden code names for potential future fighters, and the three names they found were Fighter Kind Jack, Fighter Kind Brave, and Fighter Kind Paku. Now, according to sources, Paku is Piranha Plant, who is going to be, of course, the first add-on character if you registered before January 31st. Which I have.
Paku was the Japanese name for Pac-Man. He was Puck-Man.
Well, that's. But this is Paku. P-A-C-K-U. Paku.
Anyway.
But yeah, they're saying this is referred to Piranha Plant. And then. Theories are that Jack could be a reference to Jack Frost, which is a demon from Shin Megami Tensei in Persona, which could mean Joker. And then in Dragon Quest Heroes, there is a class called Yusha, which in Japanese...
Hero.
Yeah, no, and it actually translates to Brave.
Oh, okay. What? So, yeah, no, how could I know Yusha? No, because, like, I mean, Yusha itself, yeah, it could also mean brave, but also means hero as well. It kind of interchangeable.
So, I don't know, but, I mean, like, there has been some rumors saying that Dragon Quest is going to get a character
yes,
in
Smash those have been
Bros.
Really, really common. I think Eldric, is the one that everybody's talking about.
Yeah. All right, and then here's one I just couldn't help but smile about. One of the things that makes Super Smash Bros. So great is the music, of course. And the last two games have really gone into their choir. Last couple three games have gone really big into the choir person singing. And of course, with Ultimate, we had Lifelight, who in English was sang by Abby Trott. And she didn't know at first that she was going to be singing for Super Smash Brothers, but when she did, she cried because she's a Nintendo fangirl.
That's funny they didn't tell her what the song was or what the game was.
It's actually a more common thing. Like when you audition in Hollywood, sometimes they'll give you a general part so that you don't. You know, overact. You're just thinking, okay, I'm going for this part. I don't know who it's going to be. They'll even give you a fake script so that you know, you don't know what you're expecting. And then once you get revealed, they'll be like, oh, okay. So it's kind of like that. So she admits that what happened was she was, quote, for the first round, I submitted my singing demo. The second round involved singing a requested song that wasn't Lifelight. And then I ended up being cast and cried when I found out what the project was. Yeah. She goes, as a lifelong fan of Nintendo, being a part of Smash Bros. Ultimate is really special to me. I love Lifelight so much. So, life finds a way, ladies and gentlemen. Life finds a way.
That's one of the few things I don't like about Smash Bros. I think the song is fine, but I wish that they had more, like, you can change the menu theme once you beat the game, but I wish that there was more, like, every version of the game has, like Battlefield's a Lifelight remix, and Final Destination's also a Lifelight remix. Like, all the soundtracks for the generic in the game, including the menu, are all Lifelight, and it's like, I get it, like, I like the song, but now I'm kind of tired of it, and I put it low on my priority list, and I put, like, the Melee one high. I need a little break from Lifelight.
I completely agree. It is so catchy and it gets stuck in your head, but they do have it. Like, for a game that has like 800 plus tracks, you hear Lifelight 95% of the time you have the game on.
Yes.
It's pretty remarkable. But that's a pretty awesome story though. Good for her. That's really cool.
Yeah. So, hey guys, it's these little things, you know, that make you smile. And it's like, she's a fangirl, and she gets to sing for, like, one of the biggest releases in all of 2018, so...
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's pretty awesome. Also awesome is that this game is still selling out in Japan. Alright? Like, there have been pictures taken showing that Smash Brothers in Japan is just selling out. Like, they have already crossed 2 million sales in Japan alone. Just Japan. Of course, we were at 1.2 million in the first 3 days, which helped comprise the 5 million. So if it's already at 2 million, that means we've already got 800 extra thousand. So we have got to be like 6, 7 million sold of Ultimate by now. Easily. Right?
So. That would be insane. I mean, yeah, I think we would be, though. I mean, given the first week sales, I'm very curious to see what that number gets up to, because this is blowing. I know Mario Kart was just a port, an enhanced port, but Mario Kart always is the number one. Like, Mario Kart Wii compared to Brawl was a rout. Like, Mario Kart Wii sold like 40 million more copies than Brawl.
Yeah,
and Ultimate
more,
is
kind of,
smoking Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I mean, maybe we'll see a Mario Kart 9. That would
oh,
be,
we are. It's guaranteed. I would actually be surprised if we don't get at least a teaser of that by the end of the year. I know they have Mario Kart Tour, allegedly, coming out on mobile, allegedly. But, you know, if we don't get a Mario Kart 9 tease for Switch, I'd be very disappointed. So. All right, now we will step away from Smash Bros. Ultimate, because Amazon has revealed their top 10 best-selling games and gaming products of 2018. And do you want to guess what number one was?
I wonder.
It's Super Smash Bros. Ultimate! It's like we didn't tease that at all!
Oh my.
Yeah. Now, ironically, we already talked about this before, but they cemented that Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was the best-selling game of the year. Now, to be clear, just so there's no confusion here, this is single console sales. So, for example, number two was Red Dead Redemption 2, but only on PS4. So, there's that. Number three, I found this surprising, Super Mario Party. Yeah. Number four was Marvel's Spider-Man. Number five was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Six was Mario Odyssey. Seven was Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. 8 was Black Ops 4 on PS4, 9 was God of War, and 10 was Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I'm kidding. it gets two spots. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So just to be clear, there are three games on this list that were out last year, and they made it onto the best of 2018 list. How does that happen?
That's crazy. And, you know, I wonder what it is about Amazon shoppers, because, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 was probably, I mean, it had to be the top selling game of the year.
If not, it was very, very close.
Elsewhere, why is all of Nintendo games really do well on Amazon for some reason?
It's
really
true.
Interesting to me, and I have no idea what that is.
Xbox isn't represented at all on that list. I mean, because they have Red Dead and Call of Duty as the PS4 versions, and then God of War and Spider-Man, and the rest are on Nintendo.
God of War and Spider-Man are PS4, but yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Microsoft is not on the top 10 list.
You're right. They aren't on this list. This is my shocked face.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that is a good point. And, you know, I was wondering that same thing, too, because, I mean, this is... You almost have to wonder if this is, like, a parents buying their kids games kind of thing. you know, where it's like, oh, if I might as well buy it on Amazon, I got credits or I got coupons or something. As, I mean, Smash Brothers, I understand, that's fine, but you know, Mario Kart and Odyssey. I mean, Odyssey, I kind of understand because that
came out the end of 2017.
Yeah, that was in October. So
very end of October.
So I can understand that, and I can even understand that these games were in, like, the top 25, because if you didn't get a Switch in 2017 and you got it in 2018, the first thing you're gonna do is buy all the games that came out in 17 that you really wanted, and those three are like the top three.
Yeah, so that's probably what happened. Anyone who bought a console for Smash decided to go and get the other top games.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I am also surprised. I'm with you, Todd. I'm surprised about Mario Party being number three. I mean, yeah. I have it. It's good. It's great, but that's shocking.
Yeah. I mean, it is the fastest selling Mario Party game ever, and it's already sold a couple million by now. So
let me explain to you why it is. I got it. Oh. It's the first Mario Party that Diddy Kong is playable in, so everybody
that
wanted to buy it so they could play as Did.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I figured it out. Mystery solved. Good job.
My theory is basically, like, obviously Nintendo knows that they're going to make money off salt mines, and yeah, why not a better way to have a salt mine than bring another Super Mario Party back to the Switch? And yeah, you know how much salt has been spilled in this game? Have you seen the compilations?
No.
Oh my lord. Hello, there's a lot of salt. I mean, it's Mario Party. You know, yeah, salt's gonna be guaranteed to be spilled.
This is true. I was there during the heyday of, you know, Mario Party 2 and 3, so lots of salt was spilled there.
Oh, we still play Mario Party 2, like, all the time. It's a classic.
I mean, you haven't
had a Hootenanny in 2018 or 19.
Did you just say Hootenanny?
Oh, yeah. You know, Western World. Yeah,
yeah, you, okay. You're not playing. You got to go to Western Land, and
Western
you have
Land,
Hootenannies,
yep.
with Milk and Wiggler.
Yep.
And your grandma. Ooh. Wiggler. Yeehaw, yeehaw.
Yeah.
I also want to point out, last little stat on this top 10, three of the games, which is 30%, have the word super in front of the other games. So I'm just saying, maybe 2019, and maybe a little prediction, a little foreshadowing here on the draft, just have super in front of everything, probably going to sell.
Super Yoshi.
Regular stuff, not as good, but
super.
I'm buying it.
That's such a good point. I can't believe people haven't realized this yet. It's got to be why, like, Nintendo is putting new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe or whatever,
you,
extremely long name.
Yeah. Mario Kart 9 is not going to make top 10 2019. Super Mario Kart?
Yeah.
That's in there.
I can just hear it now. It's like, this is Reggie. We have made a decision. We're not going to release Metroid Prime 4. Instead, we're going to release Super Metroid Prime 4. Oh, what was that? You wanted Fire Emblem 3 Houses? That's not my problem. You guys are going to get Super Fire Emblem Super 3 Houses. If you don't like that, what's wrong with you?
I'm telling you, it's gonna work.
That's genius.
That is genius. Man, you're fitting in just fine here, Captain Toad.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Now moving on to Pokemon Let's Go. Even though the game's been doing very, very well in sales, even though it does not have Super in front of its name. Maybe next time.
That might be why.
Ooh, there you go.
Yet,
the core title's gonna have it. Super Pokemon. Super Pokemon Infinite. There you go.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Super Pokemon Infinite.
That's great.
You heard it right here. First show of 2019. But no, there's been a lot of questions still about Pokemon Let's Go, and not just from Tyler. And for example, some people have said that it feels like the game is too short. I didn't feel that at all, because I took a lot of time training, just because if you didn't, you know, you would lose. But apparently, producer Junichi Masuda wanted to make sure that the game didn't consume people's lives, but instead was just a good part of them. He goes, "When you consider how people live in this day and age, I think it's safe to say that everyone's pretty busy. The way we spend our team is different now from how it was 20 years ago. Thanks to smartphones, you're constantly bombarded with new information, and it's natural that you end up thinking you want to play some other games. So I felt like perhaps the time you spend on your adventures on these games didn't need to dominate all your free time." I actually like this.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
a
not,
gr-
not go everything ahead. Has to be a 50-hour masterpiece, all right? So, and again, this was a casual game. We knew that coming in.
I agree. I love that. I mean, I haven't played it, but that I wish more developers had that stance. You know, on certain, some people try to turn a game that's supposed to be like that into what's a 50-hour masterpiece, and I wound up not wanting to buy it or play it because I'd rather play other things that could see my time. So, yeah, that's a good. Good. Well said.
Right. It reminds me of the one time one of the producers of Octopath Traveler also kind of said, like, yeah, they created Octopath Traveler in order to like actually fill in that niche spot in your time in your schedule, because like they said, like, just that each level is basically a self-contained moment. Like, what you play this thing right before you go to bed, and after that you can stop playing and then like wait for a moment. Do your own thing, and yeah, after a while, you go back to Octopath Traveler, and like you don't miss a beat on it. I remember, like, yeah, the producer saying something like that in that same line of thinking is like, yeah, Octopath Traveler is also very similar in that case.
Yeah, and it also goes back to sort of the Switch hardware itself. You know, with the PlayStation and the Xbox, that's a sit down thing that you're kind of committing the second you hit the power button. But with the Switch, I think that having a game that isn't such a long-term commitment, it works better because you can absorb it in smaller bits and pieces and still not feel like, oh, I've been playing this for 4 months.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot. And that's exactly what Octopath Traveler guy was saying. Well, he wanted each individual story to be able to be experienced on the trip on the train to work. You can beat Tressa's chapter 2. And then, you know, on the way back, you can do one more chapter 3, and then you're good. It's very smart, especially given the console.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, you know, if there's too much to play, which we've all had games that have done that to us, you know, there's just so much content, and then it's almost 2 years after release.
Now
beating it, even though your friends and, you know, loyal podcast hosts have already beaten it, and then it's just
Oh, I thought you were talking about Smash Brothers.
No. No. Smash Bros. Hasn't been out for 2 years, Will. Talking about Breath of the Wild, the game that you just beat. It only took you 22 months. Moving on. So, okay, here's one that I find fascinating. So, in line with the whole Amazon Best Games of 2018 thing, Nintendo released their most downloaded games on their eShop. Now, to be clear, this is all games, so it's not just the ones you paid for. So, not surprisingly, number one was Fortnite. Yeah. And then number two was Fallout Shelter. Number three was Paladins Champions of the Realm. And number four was Smash Brothers Ultimate. Now, I actually want to bring attention to this because this list had to be compiled within a few weeks of its release, which means that in its release weeks, it had enough digital sales to top a lot of games.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we've seen and heard about all the rises of digital content. This basically proves it because Ultimate did not have that much time, and it beat games like Warframe, which has been doing good on Switch, Hollow Knight, Mario Party. Oh, Celeste, Tyler, was number 10. followed by your other favorite game ever, Mario Tennis Aces. Oh, see, I could just hear him stewing over the microphone. Octopath Traveler was number 16. I actually kind of like that. Let's see. Oh, Donkey Kong Country was 21. Golf Story was 26.
Hey, wait, sorry. I heard Celeste. My younger brother walked into the room while I was recording, and I panicked, and I had to mute myself. But whatever you said, don't be disrespectful.
No, I said Celeste was number 10.
Oh, okay, good.
And then it was followed by your other favorite game ever in Mario Tennis Aces.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that wasn't one of my other favorite games, but...
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
All right, but still, Fortnite has been doing really well on Switch, and so, you know, hearing it doing this well as the top, something has to be big for it to lose in 2019, don't you think? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's free to play, so anyone could download it, even if they don't play it after a month, they can still download it, and it still counts.
That was me. I contributed to that stat, and I played it maybe twice and moved on. It's not my scene, but
I understand.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I downloaded it. I played maybe once. I might have played it once, And yeah, haven't touched it since because I'm just not into it. But yeah, that free download, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a free downloading mode. Why not? I mean, I downloaded it. I haven't even touched it yet. So, I mean, the fact that it's free is like, okay, I'll just put it in my download list. And maybe if I'm curious or I have if some curiosity I want to finally try it out, then yeah, it's like there waiting for me whenever I want to. So yeah.
All right. Well, I also have never played Fortnite. My parents actually know about Fortnite because of the news. And so they asked me, like, Todd, do you play Fortnite? I'm like, I have a little life already. I don't want to get rid of it. So, did you see what Jimmy Kimmel did?
No. Okay. I know about the New Year's Eve thing with Ninja,
okay, no,
which we
not
will
that,
not
that.
Talk about.
Okay, so he heard about Fortnite because of his kid. And then he heard about the obsession that these kids had with Fortnite. So he asked parents to help him out. Yeah, this isn't going to end well. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a camera on your phone or whatever, and I want you to record yourself turning off the television as your kid is playing Fortnite and record their reactions.
Oh, that thing. That
yeah, it's
thing.
On YouTube. I highly recommend it. And these kids' reactions make me want to slap them. I mean, some of them are like genuine shock. Like, you know, what are you doing? I was playing a game. You know, I would be mad if my parents did that to me. Okay. I honestly don't think they've ever done that to me in my life. So, you know, it would be a little bit of a shock, but, like some of these kids are so disrespectful. Like I kid you not, one of them had a dad turn off their TV and he goes, the kid goes, what are you doing? Go back and cook already.
What?
Oh yeah. Swear. It's there on YouTube. I swear. And it's just, there's like 6 to 8 minutes of this, and then there's like individual YouTube videos, and they're like crying their eyes out because their parents turned off the TV, and it's just the dumbest thing ever that these kids are acting like, well, kids. So
I'm also getting to the point, like, I think it's already been known already, but I'm starting to believe that Fortnite is indeed cancer to our kids right now. So please,
it is. Yes.
Let me put it to you this way. A guy named Ninja went to the New Year's Eve party in New York
and tried to get the world to floss.
A guy named Ninja went to the New Year's Eve party and tried to get the world to floss.
Never heard of Ninja before, but...
Nope.
Do not... I just saw that on mute. I was cringing hard at that. Ugh.
Yeah. So, here's your lesson, kids. Don't play Fortnite too much and don't be like Ninja. Moving on. all right, we're wrapping up because we need to get to the draft. Tyler, this is a piece specifically for you.
Yes. Is this Sonic?
Yes, it's Sonic news. So, Sonic team boss Takashi Iizuka has noted that he has an interest in remaking the Sonic Adventure series.
Come again?
Sonic Adventure series.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
And I quote, it was the first high-speed 3D action game that also featured a scenario highlighted with six different stories, the A-Life Chow, six unique styles of gameplay. It is a unique offering, or even 20 years after its release. At the time, it also wasn't just a solitary software release. It was the title to bring people to the Dreamcast, and we were given the budget to make something to showcase the hardware. However, it wasn't the very first 3D game that we worked on, and looking at it, I can see the rough edges that it has, which really makes me want to remake it again.
No way. If he actually remake... No, that is the greatest thing I've ever heard. No, that's the best thing I've heard in 2019, except for when Taylor pointed out the Super.
Yeah,
that was
Super.
Number one. But,
that was
but no, number two is that. That would be amazing. Because we'll get into this later, but there's one thing that I want more than anything in the world. Yeah. I'm not going to spoil it now.
Yeah, but he says he is interested, and given how Sonic Mania did versus Sonic Forces... never know. So, thought you'd like that. All right, Will. One of our favorite developers, Platinum Games, says that they have several major announcements coming this year. Yeah. He said, in fact, one of them said, so next year we will make several announcements. This is on like the 31st. So, we already know Bayonetta's got to be one of them.
Yep.
Good guess is Nier Automata 2.
Yeah, Nier Automata, the game of the year edition is coming out this year for other systems. So maybe.
Well, I mean, but that's already been announced, though. So this is like new announcements.
I mean, for Switch, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, that's it. They didn't specify Switch, so.
Are they brand new games? Because Wonderful 101 port seems likely.
Possible.
That seems likely.
They didn't say anything. Here's the full quote. Next year will be a tense as usual. It seems it will be a year where Platinum Games aims to move up to new levels. But if I end up saying something like that, my statement will not be interesting. So next year we will make several announcements. So it's not saying new games, old names, what systems, but I would bet, outside of course Bayonetta 3, there is going to be another Switch announcement somewhere, because they really like the Switch and Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm a low-key, like, huge Platinum Games fan as well, and I would love nothing more. I love the Bayonetta series. I have Wonderful 101, I didn't finish it, but I really, really enjoyed Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Back in college,
I played that one semester, like, in a week, and then I went back and played it over and over again. I'd love to see that game or a sequel to that game come to the Switch, because it's basically Bayonetta and a hack and slash on speed. I never played any of the other Metal Gear games, which is like kind of weird, but that game, because it was Platinum, I played the heck out of it. I hope they bring that one over.
The only thing I'm just kind of worried is because, again, Raiden is owned by Konami, and I don't know if Konami is in the spirit of playing with allowing that license game being played with a Platinum game.
Castlevania come to...
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought Solid Snake would make it a Smash, so you never know.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly care enough, so I don't know.
Yeah. And
that's
a very
underrated game. If anyone's never played it, check it out.
I agree.
The game is phenomenal.
I just want to note that the bad guy was a potential football player. I could have gone pro if I didn't go into politics. Let me guess.
Right.
Some preppy Ivy League school? Boom! Texas!
Right. I mean, again, it's all about nanomachines, son. Yeah. I love that line. But going back to the beginning statement, it's like, yeah, Platinum Games, I just can't wait to see and watch more because, again, there's announced a lot of new games, like including like Granblue Fantasy, which is based on the mobile game, but coming out to PS4, maybe coming out on Switch, who knows? But also...
Granblue Fantasy is rumored to have some Smash potential content as well. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm also kind of like wondering, like, yeah, Bayonetta, Wonderful 101, but I kind of want them to like to go back into the world of Mad World, because like with Jack, like Jack and Anarchy Reigns, if you remember that, their first game on the Wii.
I remember Mad World, that was one of the M-rated games on the Wii.
Yeah, and like, again, I love Jack, I love Steve Bloom's performance in that game, and I don't know, if they brought back Jack...
Take another stab at a TMNT game, because I'm a huge Turtles fan, and Mutants in Manhattan that came out a couple years ago was not that great, and I would love for them to make another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I just want to make a new TMNT game.
Because, yeah, let's not forget also Avatar Korra as well, that one, and
maybe. All right, last one, and I'm actually curious to see what you guys think about this one. I think it was a French site, but there was a site. There we go. A French wholesaler apparently had a listing that The Witcher 3 could be coming to Switch.
Not confirmed.
It's one of those, you know, hey, I saw it on a site, and the guy who reported this did the whole, you know, I checked it out. It seems kind of legit, but you don't know. So what do you think? If this could happen, should it happen?
I actually have Witcher 3 on my PS4, and I have tried it. Like, the one thing for sure, like, if anything, CD Projekt Red has been known about its quality. So for them to, like, actually bring it to the Switch is definitely kind of unheard of, to say the least, because, again, The Witcher 3 itself is pretty power intensive. Like, it really needs, like, even with the baseline PS4, it's still that. Still makes noise on your PS4's fans, so to maybe come on the Switch, I mean, obviously the graphical downgrades and all that, but to bring it on the Switch, another great, and this is like a very revered title, the Witcher series has been very revered. To bring it over on Switch, that would be something.
I would give it a shot. I mean, I've never played any of the Witcher games, but I've heard nothing but good things. That Geralt of Rivia guy, or whatever his name is.
Geralt of Rivia.
Geralt
of Rivia.
Okay, so he was in Soul Calibur 6, which I played, and He was sweet. He's super dope.
He is
I would
a
love,
fun character.
I would love, yeah, I'd love to play around more with him. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I mean, why not throw it on the Switch, take it to go.
I don't know how great the fit is, but I definitely think that any game that can come to Switch, I mean, I'm never going to say no unless it's going to be a broken game. So if they can get it to run, like, yeah,
yes,
of course.
Yes.
I wanted to play that game, but to me, it's one of the games that I would prefer to have the nice, like, beautiful graphics on and, like, that full experience that you might not be able to get on Switch. That being said, it'd be, for me, a wait-and-see kind of deal to determine whether I would buy it, but I would definitely, if they could do it, I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
I would like to be pleasantly surprised, yes.
Well, I guess I have to see. I saw it, and I'm like, that would be cool. I mean, this is one of those games where I honestly think you don't need to have played the first two, because a lot of people haven't played the first two. They go, oh, yeah, I'm a Witcher fan. Which one have you played? Three! No, seriously, like check it out. Like, people honestly did that.
Well, just for a quick reference, because, again, the first game came on the PC, and then the second game came out on general system on Xbox. So I wouldn't be surprised if people, like, jumped it on to number three, because, again, we didn't really... number two wasn't actually access to the general public, so, yeah. But, again, a lot of people got their start with three, and then after that, just, like, who knows? Maybe down the line we'll get a remake of one and two. Who knows?
All right. Okay, yeah. Let's do this. It is the beginning of the year. It is our first podcast of the year. And that can only mean one thing. It is time for the third annual Nintendo Draft. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the commissioner of the Nintendo Draft, Tellius Tyler.
Hooray!
Boo!
You gotta boo, you gotta boo. That's the commissioner has to be booed.
Suck.
Okay, well.
Still suck.
Thank you all for, attending.
Bring back
the third annual Nintendo Draft. I declare this draft open, and we're going to start with Triforce Tot, your number one key for Nintendo to have a successful 2019. And now, just to be clear, for the audience, we're not talking about, you know, what do we think is going to happen. We're talking from Nintendo's perspective. What do they have to do to have a successful year?
Well, thank you, Commish. So I am going to repeat something that I actually said in our 2018 draft, which if you listen to last week's episode, you'll saw that Nintendo didn't exactly listen to us this year. So, yeah, shame on them. Fire Emblem. Three Houses. No, I'm sorry. Super Fire Emblem. Super Three Houses. Has to be Super. Gosh dang it. Alright, I want this Fire Emblem game to be as close to a masterpiece as possible. Like Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey levels of quality and fun. Because at present, we don't, outside of Super Mario Deluxe, no, sorry, Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, dang, that's a long title, you know, we don't know really what's coming out and when. You know, we know Yoshi's coming out, we know that, again, Fire Emblem's coming out, Pokemon's rumored for late 2019, but if they're going to really kick off this year, they can't start off with a Kirby. And they're starting off with Mario, but that's a port, and I don't really count that. They need to start off with this epic title to bring in the console sales, and Fire Emblem can be that title. And I trust Intelligent Systems to a point. Alright? They have made mistakes in the past, and, you know, Heroes is up and down. It's just the way the game works. But if they can make this game the true AAA title that I know it could be, if they can follow in the path of Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn and what they did on the GameCube and the Wii, both great games in my opinion, they will have, you know, I think it could be Game of the Year potential. If they do it right with the HD graphics, the memory, the changes, animated cutscenes possibly, or the full motion cutscenes should they want, I don't care which, hopefully full voice acting like they did in Echoes. You know, they have all of the tools. They know what the fan base wants. Put it all into one game, wrap it in a bow, and give us Super Fire Emblem Super Three Houses.
I definitely agree with you there, and like, given to the fact that how much money they're making in Fire Emblem Heroes, gotta put in some of that budget into Three Houses. So I would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah. Japan alone guaranteed 1 million units sold. Like, it's gonna be like a Smash Brothers Splatoon thing, where like Japan just rockets off with the sales because they love Fire Emblem, especially after Heroes. So make Fire Emblem a masterpiece. Come
I mean,
on,
you know that I want Fire Emblem to be a masterpiece, but I don't. I feel like that could be the Anthony Bennett of first overall picks.
Oh.
And the reason that I make the Anthony Bennett comparison is because I don't think that Fire Emblem is at the level. I mean, it's not at the level of Mario or Zelda or Pokemon. So to me, for Nintendo, that might not be their number one. Like, if that game's not great, they're going to be fine. Like, I don't think that would really damage the year that much.
No, I'm not saying that like it's the tier of Mario and Zelda. That would be wrong even for me. But I'm saying the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know the reason that Breath of the Wild works was the quality. The reason Odyssey worked was the quality. Pokemon Let's Go, it was cute. Okay, like that was really what carried it all. But Fire Emblem, we know, has the ability to have, you know, tight gameplay, great story, and as Echo showed us, you know, cutscenes and full voice acting really brought that level up. So if they take these quality elements from the past titles and then add like the more top-down style of like seeing your army with you, that's a nice addition. But expand upon that, you know, keep going with that, and then the cutscenes, make them longer, make them more numerous. You know, that was some of my favorite parts of Radiant Dawn, was like the Lagoos Bjork battle that we got, because that was so beautifully rendered. So with the HD graphics, they could make that even better. So if they have the quality, this could be something really special. And it may not still propel Fire Emblem to the tier of, you know, Zelda and Mario, but it'll help cement it even further as a AAA franchise. And I think that is important for Nintendo.
All right, well, you know, your picks are your picks.
And who the heck is Anthony Bennett?
Anthony Bennett was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think, was it 3 years ago or 2 years ago, Captain Toad, do you remember?
It was number one overall, I want to say 2015, but I might have to do a stat check. It's funny, because when you were going to say the analogy, I thought you were going to make a Canadian joke, but you didn't. So,
if you have a dear friend who's Canadian, he wouldn't dare.
Yeah. Oh, just kidding, 2013, but he's only 25.
What,
yeah,
2013?
Either way, biggest bust, one of the biggest, yeah, it seemed a lot more recent than that.
Well, little Anthony Bennett trivia for you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cleveland fans.
Learn something new every day.
The more you know.
Right now, Andrew Jose Alex is crying.
Yeah, he is.
He's in Cleveland. Poor guy.
All right, next up, we have Roy Will.
No.
Commissioner's last.
No, the commissioner's stepping in.
You compared me to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm the commissioner. I decide what goes.
Oh, boy.
I am going next, because mine kind of links with what Todd's was, but I'm going the opposite direction. Whereas Todd's focusing on the kind of second-tier franchise, I think one thing that would really elevate 2019 for Nintendo is a new Mario or Zelda game. And I'm not talking about like a new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, whatever. I mean, a brand new Mario and Zelda game. I'm not talking about Mario Odyssey DLC. I'm not talking about more Breath of the Wild DLC. I'm thinking a true new entry in those franchises. Now, it doesn't have to be Breath of the Wild 2. Obviously, that's not enough time to develop that game. But I'm sticking with the theory that I came up with last year, that with a game that big, there had to be a lot of content that they cut. And I would hope that they are capable, or that they have good ideas that they could turn into another game. Now, Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time did it back in the day. They came out a year apart. So I think it's not impossible for a 2-year development cycle to get another sort of title like that. Now, it could be a 2D Zelda game. That would qualify as well for me. Mario game, I'm not looking for another Mario Odyssey. That's obviously too big. That being said, they could do another Mario 3D World styled game. That's my favorite Mario game, perhaps of all time, definitely in my top three. And bringing games like that back, actually, for Mario, and this goes shout out to Captain Toad Taylor, who during the pre-show pointed out Super Mario Maker 2 is another option that would really sell consoles, because we've got a lot of great games coming out this year. But outside of Pokemon at the end of the year, there's nothing that is really going to sell systems like Smash Brothers did, or sell systems like Breath of the Wild and Odyssey did. And a new Mario game and a new Zelda game, that could do it. for the record, Mario Kart 9, if that comes out, would qualify. Something new, though, in those two IPs elevates the year.
I want to go last, so go ahead and talk, guys.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Will. All you.
Well, for me, I feel like because we are definitely in that prime period now to have new Mario game or new Zelda game, because it has been 2 years since Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey, so we are definitely in that prime period. And knowing Nintendo, like, even though, like, we always want them to, like, yeah, take their time with the games, we always have seen Nintendo, like, really make quite new surprises. I mean, sure, if we get announced of another new Mario game, like, probably the initial reactions will be the same thing. It's like, oh, it's another Mario game. Okay, I'm happy. It's nothing bad, but also nothing too grand. But, again, we were completely blown away with Super Mario Odyssey, so hopefully we'll have that same reaction again. Like, oh, a new Mario game? Okay, okay. And then once we get it in our hands, like, wow, Nintendo, you've done it again. That kind of reaction.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, for me, I think that Mario sells more than anything with Nintendo. It's synonymous with Nintendo. They have it down with science. No matter what they do, it's been great. And they have a ton of options that they can go with. You know, like I said, I would love to see maybe like a Galaxy 3 or a 3D World 2. Yeah, Mario Maker 2. And they have infinite options. Something completely we don't know. RPG, you know, Mario RPG. Who knows? Yeah, another Mario game would instantly crush the year for them if it's well received, which it almost always is. And then Legend of Zelda, like obviously like Breath of the Wild, Twilight Princess, like the 3D Zelda games are super highly reviewed, but I always have a soft spot for like the top down 2D Zelda games. Like Minish Cap is one of my favorites, A Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds. If they did some kind of iteration of that that came out next year, I feel like it would be a lot easier and quicker to make and still be fun. That would just crush for them. So yeah, I agree. That would be slam dunk if they did one of those two.
I think that definitely it's tricky because Mario is everywhere. Even in 2018, he was, you know, in all the big places like Mario Tennis Aces, which was one of the better selling titles with 2 million in a couple months, and of course Super Mario Party. So
and of course Smash actually, Bros. I mean
and Smash
that,
Brothers, of course,
as well.
Of course. But I actually think that we could get another Zelda title in the form of the like a top-down 2D Zelda title, because the 2D Zelda team says that they're on the Switch now. So, you know, to tide us over until Breath of the Wild 2, whatever that may be, they could easily do a you know, Link Between Worlds, Triforce Heroes kind of game, and, you know, have that different Zelda experience to make us appreciate even more when Breath of the Wild 2 comes out. So it's very possible. It would definitely be a game that's announced this year, but then released next year, I think, to help cement 2020. But I get announcement at least is very, very possible.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to rip me because you wanted to go last. But no, I'm glad that we're in agreement there. Yeah. With the third pick, we're going with Wario, Will.
For me, we're kind of going like what they have established right now, and is this. Better online service.
Because preach!
We started with the Switch during this inaugural period. Like, we had free online internet. We played Splatoon 2 and everything else. And we played ARMS. No problems whatsoever. Like, okay, I mean, sure, there was the occasional lag and all that, fine. But now, with Nintendo Online Service, even though it's cheap for $20 a year, like, we still having problems with it. I mean, they said that we can also, there's going to be a promotional period, like a promotional discount when you buy something. They only hinted in their Q&A video of their Nintendo subscription services. Since then, we got no news about it. Like, I don't know. Are we going to have a discount when we buy digital games? Like, because I don't know about you guys. Like, yeah, I do believe in our systems, but I hate paying taxes. And the fact that I have to go pay taxes on my e-games, it's like, ugh, I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm sorry. But like, I don't know, like, with the online services, like, we're now paying online services for playing Smash Bros., playing Smart Tennis, and the fact that we're still getting problems, like, some laggy issues, like, input lag, like, just slowdowns, even to the point of full-fledged stop, and we're paying online service for this is, like, Nintendo, You've seen your competition. You've seen Xbox Live. You've seen PlayStation Plus. They have done it so properly for like these past like almost decade now, and you're still having problems with online services. Like, I don't know. It's about time you kind of like figure out something with your online service. One is regarding to your discount with the online subscription services. Like, will we also have like a 15% discount with this digital content? I don't know. Yeah. Like, definitely improve on your internet service. Improve like that aspect. Like, why should we pay you $20 a year for this service? One better online service. Like, dedicate yourself into dedicated servers so we don't have to worry about playing Smash without having to worry about input lag or just complete slowdowns. And other things is basically make the online just much more appealing to the customers. Where we're paying for online service as it is right now, $20, $40, $60 to the point tops. But please improve on your internet service and your offerings on why we should buy this service. So,
Hey, do you
Nintendo.
have the online service yet?
Well, the fact
Me?
you're playing Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been playing Smash Brothers, so he kind of has to.
Well, no,
Yeah.
actually, so it's funny. That's funny you say that. Well, I mean, this was I knew it would this was going to be snagged. It's an excellent point. Everything you said is spot on. I didn't have I haven't even bought it yet. I haven't even bought the online service. I haven't played online. I have strictly played with friends on a local console or the single player stuff. So I have yet to even touch the online servers. I like to beat all the challenges. I like to play with my buddies like face to face. But yeah, I have no aspirations, and I still can't even like wrap my brain around what I was even paying for. And I looked it up, and it was like, I saw that little video when they released it. And it was like the app and save data cloud stuff, and it's like I don't know. And then like a laggy online experience, and like none of it's appealing to me. I mean, I don't know. I agree. If they're, I'm going to buy it because I'm going to. I haven't done the main reason why I haven't completed the challenges in Smash because I haven't done anything in that online block in that screen, and I'm going to do it once I complete World of Light. I also low key was hoping I was going to get the online like gift card for Christmas, and I didn't, and then just didn't buy it. But whatever. But yeah. So I don't know. It's really tough for me to get hyped about it too, and. I mean, I'm not even a huge online guy, but it would be so sweet. Like I said, like my twin brothers are all the way out in Cleveland, and we can't just come home from school or work and just play with each other anymore. And so when he was at home for the holiday, I mean, that's all we did face to face. Like we just played as much as we could, and it would be nice if they had something. And I had a bunch of friends who actually just got a Switch, and they're giving me their Switch codes, and I'm entering their 25 digits so that I can play them eventually on online. I'm like, the whole thing is like not good. I don't know. But yeah, well, you hit everything else really on the head, so I won't beat a dead horse. But no, I don't have it yet. I will. It's inevitable. But yeah,
That's a great choice, though. That's a
a
really good
great
pick.
choice. I yeah, that's a great one.
All right, Captain Toad, you're last of the first round. Let's have it.
All right. So my first pick will be that I think they just need to have a strong E3 showing. It's the industry's biggest event. Everyone tunes into it. It can really make or break a year. I love that week where E3 is just all over and you're just getting flooded with news and, talking with friends and the hype. And nothing's more worrisome than like an unfocused, direct or promises that aren't delivered. So, I mean, it would seem obvious, but I'm just going to put it out there, like strong showcase. And, I really like a nice, title to get hyped about. I'm a huge Donkey Kong Country fan. I would love Donkey Kong Country Returns 3, like a sequel to Tropical Freeze, not a port. I think that would be sweet. But yeah, strong E3, and who cares? Don't worry about what Sony and Microsoft are doing, and just give the people what they want. I think they've been doing better. Like they have, like it's crazy if you look back. Like they've been listening to their fans so well the past couple years. So I really hope that this year is just like an overwhelming, like just fanfare. So that's my
Yeah,
number one.
no, that's a great choice. And we've seen in the last couple of years they've had a marquee game to sell at E3. Since the Breath of the Wild year, they've had Odyssey last year and Smash, or Odyssey, that was the first time I messed that up. Odyssey 2 years ago and Smash last year as the big staple games. And they need that again, I think, to have a huge E3. But Sony not being there does make it easier to win kind of the headlines, which are critical. I mean, you look at the holiday showing, and Switch just dominated the month of December in sales, and I think a lot of that goes back to that E3 Smash Bros. Showing, and that's like you said, it's the industry showcase. So hitting an E3 well really can change years of success.
Yeah, E3, especially this year, which we can now say, this year is going to be very important because of Sony backing out. You know, this is the one where Nintendo is going to go really all in to say, hey, you know, this is why this matters. This is why this show matters. And they're going to, even if they have, like, you know, Fire Emblem and Yoshi before the E3 arrives, they're going to have one to where they're going to have something to show this so that Sony feels bad. You know, they're going to be evil about it. They're going to be evil about it because they can be, because they're Nintendo. So, all right. Okay, round two.
We'll start with you, Todd.
Yeah, I'm going to take it a little kinder. Okay, I'm going to give Nintendo a simple piece of advice. You know, Nintendo, to truly make 2019 special, you have to let the 3DS die. Was that kind enough? I mean, did I convey the emotion there? Because let's be honest with us, folks. Okay, in 2017, what was the really big game that came out for the 3DS?
I don't even remember.
Yes.
I have to remember. This is 2 years ago now.
There was also
year.
Ever Oasis. Was it 2016? Whatever. And then, of course, there was Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon.
What
was the big 3DS game in 2018?
WarioWare Gold.
I heard
that
it
was the biggest one.
Yeah, but okay. Biggest original title. Yeah, it would have to be WarioWare because that was it. That was it. Everything else was ports in that weird biker one fighting game. I can't even remember the name. It was kind of dumb. But, you know, you dedicated half a section of a Nintendo Direct to this, and it was like, why exactly? You know, and it goes, oh, hey, we're going to support this through 2019 and beyond. Why?
Yeah, Detective Pikachu was like the only game that wasn't a port. Mm-hmm.
Good point, Brad.
Look,
that one.
I get it. The 3DS, the 3DS didn't do as well as the DS. It was never going to, but it did really well. It crushed the Vita, which was its main goal. It sold tens of millions. Did its goal. Had numerous big titles, first and third party. Good for you. Let it die. Sorry. Ooh, that's in my throat there. What's coming out? Nothing. Everything is focused on the Switch. The Switch is dominating, okay? And I'm not even saying the whole, hey, you need to, you know, come out with whatever the next 3DS is. I don't think you do. Sony is done. They're not doing handhelds anymore. Microsoft was never in that market. You have the mobile initiative. You got to have games on the mobile initiative in 2019. That could be another draft point. But, you know, you have that. You have the Switch, which is a portable console. You don't need handhelds. You don't need to keep trying to pull out every last dollar. The Switch prints money on its own, okay? Let it die. Stop making us suffer.
I think you may have found the Draymond Green there. That was a good middle round pick.
Hey, Draymond Green's a legend, man. Watch it.
My idea is basically this. Like, yeah. First, bring Nintendo. If you're listening to this podcast right now and talk to Atlas as your very buddy right now, please bring Persona Q2 before you kill off the system, please. Thank you. Because again, since you bring Joker into Smash, please release Persona Q2, please.
Yeah. I definitely think that the 3DS has run its course, and I do think that we can survive without Persona Q2. But
hey,
which is only out in Japan.
Yeah. No, I agree, though. I'd like to see it come over just so Will could have it, you know. But Will still never beat Shin Megami Tensei Apocalypse, which is that's frustrating to me.
Look how long it took him to beat Breath of the Wild. Yeah, so do you really expect it?
So I think if they bring it, Will might not even finish it, and then what's the point of even bringing it? But you had no retort besides I was waiting for
retort question.
I'm gonna stick it to you for calling me out. You're right there, Todd. That's an excellent choice. I hope that they announce the end of it at the very least, like if they release some other small games, whatever. But as long as they at some point say, all right, we're done with the 3DS, we're focusing on Switch. I know we're probably running shorter on time here, but just real quick, would you like to see a new handheld console during the Switch era?
No.
I like having one console already... one. I love that I have a console that does everything. It's portable, it can stay at home. I mean, I low-key, like, I don't know, like, the my childhood and everything, like, I always had, like, you know, the handheld Game Boy or DS and then the home console, but the Switch perfectly combines it. There's no need. We're in a different era. I mean, I think... you know, just to quick chime in, I agree with you, Todd. It's a great point. And it would be a real kick to the groin, another Draymond pun there, if they continue to keep the 3DS going. I mean,
cost them a title.
It's not worth it. I mean, I love it. But you said it perfectly in three words, Tyler. It ran its course. That's all. It lived a good life. It'll be missed, but let's keep all your eggs in one basket and just go hard on the Switch. It's a great system.
Mm-mm. Agreed. Again, we already have a mobile console, which is the Nintendo Switch. Like 3DS, it's been out for way too long already. I mean, okay, we have Fire Emblem Shadows Valentia, great. We have Shin Megami Tensei Apocalypse, great. I'm just waiting for, like, I don't know, like one or two more offerings, okay, but it's been so, like, my God, it's almost like, it feels like it's been 86 years since this released it already. So, yeah, think about time, like, yeah, time to move on to the next thing, Nintendo. I mean, okay, we do love, like, the whole 3D/touchscreen aspect, but that's kind of the thing we have the Switch for right now. So please focus on the Switch. And then, yeah, like, if there's another resurgence again, another, like, calling for another handheld, then we'll call you again. But please let the 3DS just go. Let it go.
Just let it die.
Good pick, Todd. Good pick. I'm gonna act like that was your first pick. My second pick is big third party exclusives that support the first party release calendar. So what I mean by that is, we know there's a lot of first party games coming out this year. We've got in this month, we've got New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, whatever. We have Yoshi. We got Fire Emblem, we have Pokemon, we might have Metroid. I'm sure there's more that I'm missing. We got Town, they announced Town recently. There's a ton of games. Luigi's Mansion 3, Animal Crossing, I missed two big ones right there. But even that said, so you could have at least every other month, just based off of the announced games alone, a big first-party release. But what about the downtime? So I would love to see some third-party titles, some big third-party exclusives come in and kind of ease that burden on Nintendo's devs, to kind of make it easier for them to say, hey, you know what, if this game's not coming out on time, we can delay it and make it better and not have to worry about it crushing our system sales because we got this great game from Square coming out, or we got this great game from Konami, or, you know, whoever it is. That would really kind of that worked so well in 2017. They did have a first party game pretty much the entire way through, but there were some great third party titles like Mario and Rabbids in there that kind of transitioned throughout the year, and there was constantly a stream of new Switch games. So that's something they really have to bring back. Last year really suffered because they didn't have that consistent stream.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that. Like, Nintendo had, as we said before, like, Nintendo had, last year in 2018, just did greatly on the third party supports. And just, I mean, look at Octopath Traveler, that did a great title. And then also, like, even with Starlink and the other third party offerings. But overall, like, yeah, if Nintendo's gonna keep on doing this well, yeah, keep on bringing those third party exclusives. The fact that we had Marvel Alliance 3, correct?
Yep, Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, Ultimate Alliance coming to the Switch is like, holy moly, wow, whenever do I see the day? And then we also have Mortal Kombat 11. I mean, yes, that's a multi-platform a game, but still, we're also getting Mortal Kombat 11, which Mortal Kombat again on a Nintendo console, which is like quite something. So I agree, like third parties, like if companies offer more third party exclusive to the Switch, then yeah, we'll get definitely see more successful year for Nintendo as well in 2019.
Yeah, that the reason 2017 worked as well as it did is because even when there wasn't a big first party title, there's a big third party title, and with 2019, there's a lot of first party games announced, but you definitely need the third parties to help smooth out the areas. Like, for example, I don't know if there's anything big coming out in February. January's covered. We got Mario and No More Heroes, so you know that's good. But you know what's February? What's March? What do we got? You know, we need to know, and we need to know soon. So hopefully that rumored Nintendo Direct will help us out there.
All right, moving on to the third pick, the second round, Wario Will.
Okay, for my second pick of this round is Nintendo. You've been doing very good on one aspect, is that is by bringing in the mature titles. Do not shy away from the dark topics, because let's be honest, even Octopath Traveler addresses some pretty damn dark topics if you have explored the game, Octopath Traveler. But I'm not also just talking about like dark topics as well, but of course there's also the usual, yes, there's blood, there's demons. I mean, look at Wolfenstein and Doom, because yeah. Rip and tear until it's done. Doom was an amazing game, and just the fact you're slaying demons with a chainsaw and just being so alpha about it is like, it's Doom guy. Of course, Doom was awesome. And then Wolfenstein, I mean, what's nothing so enjoyable but then shooting Nazis? I know, in this
no comment.
Planet, but... But yeah, Wolfenstein, The Shadow Colossus was also another great game as well, which I also enjoy. But yeah, Nintendo, you've been doing very well. Like, the fact that you're like, showing that this console is open for everybody, not just the casuals of hardcores, even from Nintendo, like Nintendo casuals, like from Mario, Link, or even to like, even the most things like even Nintendo Labo. They also show like there is something for the adult taste, like with Doom, Wolfenstein, all those. So definitely continue on with your bringing in mature titles like that. And of course, in alongside of this, you have Bayonetta 3 that's coming up hopefully in this year, and of course there's more Comic 11. Please, there's also an audience here, and that is, please bring in more Seren Kagura. And I'm mourning him forestly. I just
here
want to
go.
Say, please bring in Seren Kagura Pinball. Because Yoko Taro says he wants to bring the appeal of pinball to the Nintendo Switch, and I don't know, you did very well. Remember, it did.
Why can't they just have like a regular pinball game? You know, not one that, you know, is just
no
graphic with the content.
There is little pinball games in the Nintendo eShop, but again, there's something very appealing regarding having Seren Kagura added to that pinball mechanic.
Tyler,
and
again,
if you have
Song,
if you saw it in eShop demo, it did. On number one selling shop.
Captain Toad, make your pick.
I'm gonna let him go. We gotta let him. We'll get this off his chest.
Yeah, I'll just finish up.
It's his chest. I'm worried about.
On the eShop, Seren Kagura Reflections actually did very well on the eShop, and plus, yeah, it just did very well for what it is. Even though it's a unique experience, it did very well. And heck, there is an audience for it here on the west side of the coast. So do not insult the life in hometown, people. Do not insult life in hometown.
So let's just make a solemn vow to never mention that game again on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. If we all in agreement, never again.
Yes.
Will, I let
it
you get
exists.
Off your
do not deny the existence.
I solemn vow, Will. I do have that power. So don't
deny reality.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep this going. Captain, what's your next pick?
Sure. So I think it would be a slam dunk if they made an N64 classic. I know Reggie came out and said he's not going to have one come out, but it is the natural progression in what they've been doing. And also, it would not only would it sell incredibly, but it would be so funny to see them release it and nail it, and then everyone be like, you know, again, like, similar to, I guess, the Vita and the 3DS, why is PlayStation Classic trash, and yet that same era console for Nintendo came out, and it's so dope, and further establishing Nintendo as a sweet legacy. But yeah, and it would be cool to see, like, you know, I don't have kids, but I know people around my age, a little older, have kids, and, you know, to see them, you know, they can play the console with their kids on a new way. If they don't, you know, I actually, you know, don't have my original N64 that I grew up with. I think it'd be cool to have a new one that had everything in it. So, I mean, I don't think anyone would argue if they did it. It's a matter of if, but if they did, I mean, it would sell like crazy. Probably more than the first two. I mean, I'm a Super Nintendo guy in terms of like retro. Like that's by far my favorite console. But N64 is right there, and I think most people that's like their favorite old console. But yeah, I think that would be sweet. N64 classic.
Yeah, absolutely. With for the first time, they get their classic console right with the wire length. Like, give us a controller with
that
an actual
well.
Wire. That would be huge.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that's a great pick, though. And then you know how well that would sell. Guaranteed to do great. Todd, your final pick.
All right. Well, originally I was going to say have a big 30 bombshell surprise, kind of like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was at the Game Awards. But I'm going to change my pick, and I am going to say Senran and Kagura. I'm kidding. I honestly forgot how to say it for a second. I was like, wait, how am I supposed to say it? Do I need to go back into my Will's face to understand this? Game.
So you'll notice I said that game when I said that we're never going to speak of it again. That's because I would not be able to pronounce it right, and I will continue to not try.
Yeah. You are almost a better man than I, Tyler. Almost. Anyway, no, my honest to goodness third pick is going to be something we kind of touched on in the podcast last week, which is new IPs. And there's no doubt that we are going to see quote unquote new IP this year. We got Daemon X Machina. We got Town. Obviously, but the question is whether those are going to be franchises. I want to see a new IP like an ARMS, like a Splatoon, an Animal Crossing. I want to see the future of Nintendo this year. And I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know who's going to. Maybe it's retro. Maybe this is why retro has been hidden for so long, is they're making this so dope new IP that we just can't handle it until they have the most epic trailer ready. I don't know. Or maybe it'll be Monolith Soft, who's working on this new RPG they've been teasing. I don't know. But the thing that has made Nintendo so much better than every other publisher, I don't care about sales or anything else, is that they continue to expand their library in fun and meaningful ways. And we didn't get a new IP technically in 2018. We got Octopath, but that's Square Enix. But I want to see a new IP or two, just saying, that helps set up the future of Nintendo in an even like ARMS and Splatoon and Animal Crossing did. So that's my pick.
That's a great pick. Yeah.
An excellent pick. And for sure, retro. Very well could surprise us. I still think that they're doing Star Fox Grand Prix, and I really want Star Fox Grand Prix, so maybe that's why I still think that that's what they're doing. But yeah, a new IP like Splatoon could elevate the game. And I just want to point out, when you said Town, that jumped out at me as a game that really should have Super in front of it. You know, like, of all
Super
the
Town.
Games, Town is, like, just Town. Like, Super Town. Does
it is a working title. They said themselves it's a working title.
Maybe even Super Duper Town. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, the extra syllables, like, it just pushes it to another level.
Ooh, and then the theme song can be, "Can you take me to Super Town?"
Oh my gosh.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We were discussing with Will a moment ago. He's discussing with us. We're all even here. My final pick is an improved eShop collection. So the Nintendo eShop is actually, it's pretty decent. They've got a lot of sales on there at all times. It's kind of organized. It could be organized better, but I really want to see some old games be brought to the eShop. So the online service, I know we're getting a lot of retro NES games through that, so I'm not expecting NES games. But I would really love to see if Nintendo is not planning on bringing GameCube games to the online service subscription, then I want them available through the eShop. But I also like the idea of third-party old games, like Sega has their Sega Classics collection. I would love to see some Dreamcast games. We've already got some old Sonic games in that collection on the eShop, but I really want to see Dreamcast games on there. And a lot of people, you know, they love Jet Set Radio and Will Skies of Arcadia, like all these classic Dreamcast games. I want the other ones, but I only need Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2. And that is exclusively because the only thing my life is missing right now is Chao Garden on the go.
Yes.
bring back Chowgarden all, just Chowgarden at any time. I mean, I can't tell you. Captain Toe Taylor knows how many hours were spent in the gardens growing up.
Quite a lot of hours
were spent raising the Chow, you know, and to have Chowgarden back, I would be complete. It would be perfect.
It would be perfect.
I would love that, actually, because, like, yeah, have a Chowgarden, yeah, bring Chowgarden to the Nintendo Switch and have it be, like, the big social experiment, like Pokemon Go. Like, have your Chow facing off against another friend's Chow.
Oh,
like,
my God, Will, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. I just was thinking exactly the way it used to be. But if you could wireless Chow Karate, that's game of the year.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
That's game of the year. Forget our Smash Bros. Matches. No, we spend an hour in the garden and we put our Chows against each other and see who comes out on top. Oh.
I would love to see a Chow in 3D on the Switch. In HD, nothing would be better. It would be the best. I mean,
like the fact that like we have such adorable things like Let's Go Pokemon Pikachu and Eevee, and Eevee was bloody adorable. Have the entire attack with a Chow and have just that same adorable cute factor right there.
That's right. All right.
Now for Smash. Just want to get it rolling. Get a trend.
Oh, good call. Really good call. All right, Will, get your final pick in here.
For my final pick, actually something goes along with you as well. For me, it's basically bring on the JRPGs. We already got ourselves with Tales of Spirit Definitive Edition, and we also, Atlas has hinted regarding to details finally on Shin Megami Tensei V. So just continue to bring on the JRPGs, dude. I mean, like, Octopath Traveler last year and pretty much shows that, yeah, JRPGs aren't dead. I mean, they have never died on the industry whatsoever. So Tales of Spirit coming up to Nintendo Switch and all consoles, and then with Shin Megami Tensei V, I just want to, like, see more JRPGs coming in. I mean, I guess you could also count that Fire Emblem Three Houses kind of also falls in that void as well, but we have no idea if that's still kind of caught this year. I mean, hopefully with us, but yeah, like,
it should be spring, but we'll see.
But hopefully, like, I just want to see more JRPGs continue to fill in this market. That's like, yeah, again, I love my good fair share of JRPGs. Like, as you said, with a model of stuff, like, what project are they doing right now? Are they going to announce it in this year's E3, or is it going to be announced in the second half of the year? And, like, what other studios, like Square Enix, or even, like, another studio, like a Western studios, probably have an RPG on it in their ranks, but again, that wouldn't be called JRPG.
Yeah, I guess. Right, Octopath kind of showed that there is a market for JRPGs on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we'll see how well the ones that we know are coming out. But Shin Megami Tensei V also announced. That'd be great to have this year.
And they're teasing Bravely Heavily.
And they're teasing so Bravely Heavily.
Right. And there's also one more thing as well, because we recently just got an announcement from Atlas regarding to Persona 5R, if you remember from our boss Cooper Keith who wrote the article. So we still, I don't know, there's a lot of things we have no idea from Atlas as well, who was really talking the JRPG market right there since with the Joker review at Smash. So again, like, companies, Japanese companies, if you're listening, please just keep on bringing JRPGs to the Nintendo Switch. We'll buy it, definitely. There's an audience here.
Good call. And final pick, Captain Toad?
So my final pick is going to be whatever they release, make sure that they supply it. I just want them to supply their stock in a way that's comfortable for everybody. You know, just with the new Smash coming out, I just was getting, like, flashbacks of just all the amiibos that were unavailable and a scramble to get. You know, the NES Classic was kind of difficult to get. The Super NES Classic was difficult to get. If they release something big, I mean, obviously it's different with, like, a game title itself, but if they release something that's super dope, I know there's supply and demand, but make sure it's accessible and it's clear. I, like, nothing is more frustrating than the fans wanting to, like, purchase and consume their product and they can't even get it. So this would all this is fruitless if we can't even access it. So just make sure if they, you know, if it's going to be big, supply it in a big way so that we don't have to wait. So
great,
that's my last pick.
Yeah, I wish we had more time to really dive into that, because that's such a good point. And you look at Smash Bros, that game did not have any supply issues, and that's why it was able to sell the way that it sold.
Exactly.
So yeah, no, that's a great pick. And with that, we conclude the third annual Nintendo Draft. Great work, everyone. Yes. I am extremely proud of all of you this year. You did a great job.
You still suck. Alright, but yes, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you what grade you would give Nintendo in 2018, and the vast majority of you gave them a B. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I do recall that the vast majority, yes, I do now. 36% said A, 55% said B, 9% said C, 0 said D or F. I think we got this one right.
I like that. I mean, and yeah, B, it was a solid year. 2017 was an A.
Yeah.
In every way. But, you know, a B is still good, but this year they need to shoot for that A again.
Yes.
All right. So, for this week's poll question, all of us will pick one of our...
Let's just do the first round picks, right?
Fine. We're first round picks. So, for me, was a Fire Emblem used to be Masterpiece, or a good Fire Emblem game. Will was better online services. Tyler, you were a good third-party support. And what was yours, Captain Toad?
Strong E3 showing.
Right, strong E3. So, which of these is most important for Nintendo this year? Okay. So let us know, and of course, let us know what you thought about all the news from, you know, the possible Nintendo Direct, the Amazon Top 10, Fortnite on Switch, what do you think Platinum Games is going to be coming out with, and everything in between. We want to thank Captain Toad Taylor for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for having fun with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was awesome. I really appreciate it, and hope I'm a recurring guest. That would be sweet.
Yeah, great to have you on. You killed it.
Yeah, good luck with that. No. we will definitely have you back on, and then hopefully we can all play Smash Bros. Together sometime. So
sounds good.
Yeah. So, for Telly's Tyler, Captain Toad Taylor, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so... raise the flag.